that we have in our readings today tell us that Jesus ascended into heaven. Where is that? You know, it's a little bit of a mystery, right? When we use the word mystery in church, it's talking about something, some reality of our faith that is just, we can't quite get our head around it. Just don't understand it real well because it's too much. And so, you know, we can at the same time not understand how it could be a physical place. And yet at the same time, Jesus ascended physically. We believe Mary has gone to heaven as well. That's a mystery, and that's okay. It's all right if we cannot understand and explain it perfectly. With our current understanding of the universe, it's rather difficult to imagine a physical place. But we do believe that Jesus is there with his Father, Mary, the angels, and the saints. In describing heaven, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1024 says this, "This perfect life with the Most Holy Trinity, this communion of life and love with the Trinity, with the Virgin Mary, the angels, and the blessed, is called heaven. Heaven is the ultimate end and fulfillment of the deepest human longings, the state of supreme, definitive happiness." Let's settle for that, shall we? That's our definition. Our two accounts today might add to our confusion as they actually differ as to where the ascension took place. And we wonder also, of course, where he went. It becomes clear if we ponder these stories just a little bit that they're not really about what happened. They're about its meaning for us and for the church. We find a couple of primary meanings in this Feast of the Ascension. The first of these is the exaltation of Jesus. Jesus has ascended into heaven. And we declare then that he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Or in other words, Jesus was not just a simple human being. He was divine, the Son of God. He has gone up not to leave us, not to be far, far away, but rather to be more deeply into the world than he was before, according to his promise, "I will be with you always." The second meaning of the ascension, and the one that's probably more pertinent to us today, is what we call the Great Commission. In Luke, we read Jesus saying, "You are witnesses of these things." In Acts, "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth." So the Great Commission, the apostles were sent as witnesses. What is a witness? Well, if we use our own most familiar use of a witness, it would be someone like in a court of law who helps us determine what's true. That is a witness. And as such, you and I also are sent as witnesses of Christ. What do we witness to? Well, I'm sure the list could be very long. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. God is love. The Paschal mystery, the power of sacrificial love, the ability to have a personal relationship with God, all this and far more that we witness to. Now the apostles, the scene tells us they asked Jesus, "Is now when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" But Jesus' answer tells us it's not really about that, but rather it's about the beginning of a new era, the mission that we call the time of the church, the Great Commission, most definitively put in the words of Matthew's gospel, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's the Great Commission. The disciples, who in asking that question of Jesus, seem to still have no grasp of what's going on, or the nature of the kingdom to which they will be witness, the nature of the mission that has been given to them. And perhaps we share some of that uncertainty. I think we have to acknowledge that it is true. How do we witness what we are to witness to in our life and times? The Ascension story really tells us the important questions about the future. Not only the disciples in those years, but for us as well in our own lives and times. The Ascension tells us there is no magic answer to the troubles of this world. No answer that can bypass or dispense the true conversion and transformation of human society with all its distorted values and inauthentic relationships. The Ascension challenges us to realize that the grace of God does not work independent of us, but within our own freedom. To know what it was accomplished by Jesus is not a substitute for our own conversion. In fact, it must include it. So how do we witness? Well, again, if we go back to a trial that we are familiar with, the lawyers, depending on which side they're on, are trying to either give credibility to the witness or take that credibility away from the witness. How do they do that? Well, they show whether their words match their actions. It's as simple as that. That's what gives credibility. And so for us to witness to Christ is not found just in our words, but even more in the lives that we live, which give credibility to our words and to our worship. The first disciples were faithful to these instructions. They brought the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Their lives are a remarkable testimony to the truth of their words. We are evidence of their success. But now it's our turn. This is probably the heart of the meaning of the Ascension. We cannot stand just looking up into heaven, nor looking at our world with both astonishment and fear. We have work to do if Jesus' message is to be brought to the world. It is now up to us to do as he has been exalted by God and raised up into heaven. We are here. We are his witnesses to the end of the earth.